Blog Talk Radio. together every night with wine and candlelight. These are the things that lovers often do in a tantalizing way. A toast to love is made, and then they're ready to love like lovers always do.
And Good evening, good evening, good evening. I am your host, the Perla Negra, and this is Diva's Talk. And I am joined by a beautiful guest panel of divas. I'm going to introduce you to. Hello, Lisa Lips. How you doing tonight, Diva?
I'm good, Diva. What's up?
It's all good. It's all good. I'm in a mood. I'm in a mood. And it's a good mood. It's
okay.
A mood, though. Ladies and gentlemen, let me also bring in my other diva, Lady A. How you doing tonight, Lady A?
Just great. How about you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Divas, I have to tell you, our other diva is feeling under the weather, so she won't be joining us tonight. So it's just us three tonight with the callers. Okay, just send out some prayers for healing and good stuff to her. She'd be all right.
We got
well
you, girl.
Okay. So let me finish the introduction to the show, and we can get right into this. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and please press that 1 to join us. And this is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? Now, before I go any further, I want to give a big shout-out, hello, and a thank you to a person who is a very good friend of mine, but he is not only the CEO of Epiphany Radio, he is also the CEO of Raw Links. And I'll explain to you what those are in just a minute. But his name is, for real, the poet Douglas Baby Baby, also known as Arthur Larry Maddox. So what I was talking about, these Raw Links. First of all, I got mine on, Divas. You got your Raw Links on?
I do.
All right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, these pieces of jewelry that we speak of, which is absolutely beautiful, and they are original designs by author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet, a baby, baby. You can acquire them over on Amazon and at rawlinksbraw on Facebook.com. They are wonderful, beautiful designs, and they hold precious gems and precious metals and wood, and they all give off great energy. Whatever you need, they're healing. They're amazing, and you won't be disappointed. If you can't get them over there on Amazon or on Facebook, you holler at any one of us here in Epiphany, and we will make sure you get to adorn your body with the design of your choice, or you can allow him to create something for you. Like I said, you won't be disappointed. Now, ladies, divas, what do you think about this topic tonight? Or should I tell, let me tell everybody what the topic is. Tonight we are asking the question, are you a poet or do you just write poetry? Do you live the lifestyle or do you just dilly-dally in it for the attention? All right, I'm going to ask my diva, because I got to pick give one at a time because you guys speak at the same time. Miss Lips, are you a poet?
Yeah.
Or do you just write poetry?
I think I consider myself a poet. I've written for so long, and a lot of stuff that I wrote was just because I needed to get it out of my system, and it never saw the light of day. So my poetry is like breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would consider myself a poet because I don't do it just for show, because if it were just for show, then there would be pieces constantly being put in front of people. I had to be coerced into putting my poetry out in public.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Lady A, are you a poet?
Yeah, I agree with Lisa. I hid my poetry I consider myself a poet. I hid my poetry for over 20 years before I ever let anybody read anything. And I find it's my voice now, too.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you another question. When did you find your voice in poetry?
I was writing one evening, and some friends dropped in and asked me what I was doing and told them, and they asked me to read them what I was writing, and they kind of went off the deep end and said, you know, wow, you should put that out there and share it. So I did.
Okay. Lisa Lip, when did you find your voice in poetry?
I've always enjoyed poetry and loved poetry, and my cousin invited me to go with her because her nephew had started a little poetry group in our hometown. So I started tagging along and I enjoyed them, but I've always worked in radio and TV. So I invited them to come on my radio show. And she had inadvertently told her nephew that I wrote, because she knew that I wrote poetry all my life, but I never really shared it with anybody. He called me out on air while we were doing the radio show. That was how I first brought my poetry out. I read a piece of something that I had written on mm-hmm. that show that night. That's what started it, and he put me in the troupe, and I started working with them. They were Triple L Poetry on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and I started performing with them, and that's what finally put me on stage with it.
Okay. Well, for me, I am absolutely a poet. One thing that I do know, we as poets, being creative, we harbor the most pain. This is what allows for us to create such beautiful pieces and amazing poems. And my poetry, I write from my experiences. If you listen to it, you listen to it. If you don't, you don't. But I write more so for me rather than the audience that it is presented to. And there's still a lot of pieces that I would never, ever, ever put out there because I don't feel as though they belong in the public eye or for the ears of the outsiders. That is something that was in my heart that I needed to breathe life into, but just not for everybody to know about it. As far as my voice, let's see, how long I've been with Epiphany? Going on 6 years now, I believe. About 6 years ago. If it wasn't, like I said, for real, the poet is a very, very good friend of mine. He is one of my oldest and dearest friends in life. And if it was not for him and his baby, Epiphany, I probably wouldn't know who I was. You would have never heard my poetry because I was this frightened thing inside of a shell. And he kept on saying, all you got to do is just call in. Come on, come on, come on. And, like, I think a week later, he was making me a host of a show. And I was the true version to the microphone, to blog talk, to any of this stuff. And because of him, I am ever so grateful because I not only found my voice, I found my soul tribe with my Epiphany family. And a bunch of you guys outside of Epiphany as well. And I love y'all. And I love him for it. But that's enough about my sappiness. Okay? I'm ready. I am ready for some poetry. But what I'm going to do, because it is going into a half an hour into the hour, as soon as I can find it. All right, I'm going to pay what they call pay the bills. And we'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300. Make sure you press that 1 and join us. So, ladies, you ready for some poetry? Oh, what? I know I am.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, tonight, I'm going to start with Lady A. Are you ready, Lady A?
Yeah.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. This is called Words. As music is to a musician, notes dancing in his head, not satisfied until pen has dried and a song is heard widespread. Words of beauty, some are sad, they come from deep within. They waltz and jive, they come alive. These words are passion's twin. Vestry voices of great literature speak louder than a song, words of truth brought forth to soothe, flow gently and flow strong. At times they reach a saddened ear, forgiveness spills in and cries. At life's end they are quickly sent when the dead leave crying eyes. No matter if at birth or death, words are brilliant ingenuity. They weave thoughts which can't be bought, these words of great poetry and peace.
Oh, my God. Oh, that belongs in an Edgar Allan Poe book, or at least a book of yours sitting next to his. That is so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. You're taking my breath away tonight with that. I love it. Oh, my goodness. I don't know where to start. I can't even pick. I'm just telling you, that was like a beautiful melody to my ears. It was so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Lisa Lips, what you got for that?
Yeah, Lady A, your work is so very classic. Yeah, your pieces don't sound like something from now. They sound like something substantial from eras gone by, the Hemingway era maybe. You have such a command of how you put your words together. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Now, Ms. Lip, I know you brought something for us. You don't have to disappoint either. So I'm going to move back out of the way and fix this spotlight. And whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
This piece is called Outside My Pen. I have always walked a path untraveled, never heard the same drum as the norm, so I never fit into the spaces I was placed in, and no one desired to see me. So all I had were the words and stories I dreamed and the facts on the nightly news that shaped my world. And I lived in that awkward existence where TV reality and personal fairy tales swirled into one, because even my family saw no real value in my way of thinking, saw me as silly and frivolous, because I wanted to write stories like I saw in my books. But they said I wasn't like them, those who told those stories, because they were special, with something the world wanted to hear. And I was no one, a nobody that no one cared to hear from. So I wrote out the life I wasn't allowed to live, placed myself in the stories the news told me, and tried to tell the personal stories they were unable to see. And I told love stories of the one who'd love me completely and would find value in my oddness, and carnal stories of how our bodies yearn for each other. I built a world where I was God and everything was mine to design, but my reality has always been empty because I was never taught to actually live what I wrote of, because to show that part of me brought chastisement, because I could never be anything but the simple country child I was born, designed to serve all and to live and die for everyone's comfort but mine. So when there was nothing left to want from me, I retreated to my pen, because my life was in my pages that I hid away lest someone see. And to this day, my ink tells the stories of all I wish to be, even when my real life is stagnant, because I'm just learning how to live outside my pen. I'm Lips, and you've just been serviced.
Oh, God, that resonates with me. Oh, go ahead, Lady Anne. What you got for that?
Well, wow. I thought this was, you know, I envisioned you as a child and all of these things, and it's interesting to live outside my pen, how you cloistered yourself because you felt you didn't fit in and only words and stories that you dreamed about gave you comfort, the television news and fairy tales. And when you expressed yourself, you were chastised in your words and thought as silly and frivolous, that you weren't special. I thought this was very, very sad, very telling. But then at the end when you said, you know, that you are finding yourself and you're living outside of your pen now, and I think that's beautiful. I think it's such a long journey, and I'm glad you're on that road now to see that you are worthy of love and friendship and to share your ink. It's just a really moving piece that you wrote.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Girl, let me tell you something. I feel like you were telling my story. I resonate with this piece so deeply because I have never felt like I fit in. Well, these past few years, these past 6 years, I know I fit. But all throughout my life, I never felt like I fit in. And I was purposely made to feel that way. For whatever reason, maybe they saw something in me that they stunted for whatever reason. But I was always made to feel like I was wrong. For whatever, I did not belong there. And if I did try to speak up, I wasn't just chastised about it. I got my ass whooped. And I wasn't a verbal child anyway, but I was very respectful when I did speak. And I still was made to feel like I shouldn't have said anything. The looks that I would get when I would come downstairs out of my room, when I would come in from school, it was like, what are you doing here? Why are you even here? Literally. My friendships that I thought were real friends throughout the years, they made me feel that way after a certain period of time, and I never knew where it came from. My husband made me feel that way, but he started making me feel that way after I started telling him, no, I didn't want to do certain things. So it was like I was in a cage all my life. And yes, my pen actually started out with a pencil. I was about 12 and I started writing. Mm-hmm. And that was the only thing that wasn't taken from me or made me feel like it was something wrong about it. My family didn't know about it anyway because I kept it hidden really, really well. The little notebook that I had, I was lucky in that area because my mother, my sisters were school teachers, my aunts too, so I always had books. I always had notebooks, always had books to read. So me writing something wasn't a bad thing. But everything else about my life, I just was made to feel like I don't belong. So I hate it.
I fully relate, you know. My family, even the writing itself, they thought was a waste of time and frivolous. And so I used to write stuff. My parents' house had the back part of the house was single story, and the kitchen and stuff was on that back side of the house. And the little entrance to go into the attic over the kitchen was behind their bedroom door. So I would write these things on loose leaf paper just to get them out of my system and then fold them up in them little footballs like kids used to make in school. And throw them in there. There's hundreds of pieces of poetry in that attic at my parents' old house.
Wow.
That was how nobody heard me when I talked, and nobody cared what I had to say. So I wrote it all down and threw it out. That was my way of throwing it into the universe.
I love this story. I love this story. Mine was hidden under the mattress, in my Barbie suitcase, all different places that was just never looked at, never checked. So I get it, girl. I get it. I wish I could have gone back and retrieved all of that stuff that I wrote down, but that was the time and place for it. But I'm not going to keep these callers waiting. I'm going to do my piece, and then we're going to hear some more poetry from some more.
Yeah, we're ready to hear what
say. All right, so
come on, lady.
This one.
Let me move back so you can have the spotlight.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, so this is called Just One Song. Just as the phoenix rises through its ashes, if you feel that fire inside of you, do not try to put it out. Let it burn and go get what you're passionate about when you come through. We all do what we do for a cause when we push ourselves. But music can fuel and soothe that savage beast hunting, seeking, and longing for inside. It creates a space within us to reflect. It moves you and grooves you and gives you the gift of a poetic vibe coursing through your veins from the sound of your soul. Love and life is being made when ears are hit with those good vibrations, stimulating nerves running all through the body. The influence of just one song, one melody, one note of a simple tune can change your pace and have your heart succumb to what you interpret as the most beautiful thing in the world for a lifetime. If you're in tune with it, you can feel beautiful, sophisticated, loved, even unstoppable. Sometimes music can breathe into life those questions deep within the heart, like, is it my turn? Totally understand. Watch you walk out of my life, not do a damn thing. Should music cease to exist, I'd roam among the lost, because music is the rhythm of nature. Nature is my heart, and it is a part of everything natural in me. And that's it.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Yeah, the music thing, that's another part of what I hit in, so I understand your feelings in that as well. Because sometimes even the words that someone else wrote can tell your story so much better than you can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, you can hear a song, like I was saying, you know, sometimes the music can tell what you're feeling inside. And sometimes we send music to one another. Or I just play music for people to hear, to let them know what's going on deep inside of me without me having to ever even utter a word, a single word. So,
right.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, I think that I loved how you spoke to the music, and I think music, you can hide in it in a way, and you can also be comforted and soothed by music, and the way you've put it made it so beautiful and heartwarming. I think that words and put to music are poetry put to music. I mean, music is poetry put to music, and I think that there's something fantastic about it, and you were able to express that in a beautiful way. It was lovely.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. All right, Divas, let's get to these poets and hear some more amazing poetry. The first poet we have on the mic is the Double 34 Music, yo. Hey, T-Double, welcome to Divas Talk. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine, La Perla Negra, Lisa Lips, and Lady A. How are you all doing tonight?
Good.
We hear that baritone.
Try that baritone. I'll be trying not to say that. I'll be saying to myself today too. Be like, on certain nights, I'll be like, please don't growl. Please don't growl. Please don't growl. But tonight.
Why would I growl?
Why
would I growl?
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Because that's not that type of show, remember?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's all good. Lord, did you hear how he said that? See, that's what I'm talking about.
That low rumble that you don't hear so much.
Well, I guess they're welcome to the show. And I have to ask you this question. Are you a poet or do you just write poetry? Do you live the lifestyle or do you just dilly-dally in it for the attention?
Did you say dilly-dilly? I'm like, no,
dilly-dally.
You did not go Bud Light commercial. You did not go Bud Light commercial. I would like to believe I'm a poet, and I would also like to believe I write poetry. So
okay.
I'm going to go with that belief, and I'm going to walk by faith in that.
Okay. So you don't do it for attention?
No. My thing is, if one person gets the message, I'm good, on to the next.
Okay. I'll take that. That's a fact. Well, thank you for answering that question. And now, you know
welcome.
What's up. We
you
want to I. know. We. Oh, I believe so. We
I was
like
waiting for
name.
You. I was waiting for you after you did your poem to do like a moth to the flame burned by the fire. I was
oh,
waiting
Lord.
For you to say that.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. I'm going focus. You know, you're a distraction sometimes. I have to say that. You're a distraction. A good one. What a distraction.
Lisa Lips, do you think I'm a distraction?
You're such a pleasant distraction, though, that I don't even mind.
There you go. See?
All right, then.
Mm-hmm. So what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
I brought a piece that I've just remixed, and it's called The Poet That You Call Me.
Right. Well, I'm going to stand back out of the way, let this call go past. I'm going to adjust the spotlight. And whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Thank you, ladies. I don't gloss myself in glossaries, but being a poet can be addictive with an energy that's positive. Hi, my name is Clarence, and I don't have a writing problem. I have a thought process that cannot remain in clubs that have conspiracies and anonymous. Not looking to achieve notoriety and fame that comes to a poet when they're posthumous. My poetry gives you a front row seat to the big screen. That's my mind. Candid, transparent, imaginative honesty. Observational, inquisitive, controversial, intimate, humorous, and sometimes irritant. What you get is a portrait of a lyricist that belies this physical specimen you see in your picture frame. It's a part of me. Capillaries, veins, heartbeat, my words flow like blood through the arteries, thanks to God's artistry. No, I'm not an old man sounding like Kirk Franklin, but I'm God's property. Now, come on! Properly assemble, because these words may need viewers' and listeners' discretion advised. So I advise you to enter with caution this subliminally mental, because edify instead of entertain, that's my mission. I'm not one for labels, but you're free to investigate the cold case files. But the evidence of why you call me a poet is too numerous. So this might take a while. You can get Joe Friday, Beretta, Kojak, Starskin, Hutch, Rockford, McMillan and Wife, Magnum, Crockett and Tubbs, Johnny and Holly from 21 Jump Street, Malik from New York Undercover, the folks from every CSI and Criminal Minds, and if you really want the truth, Scully and Mulder. Tell Leonard Nimoy I'm that monster you're all in search of. See, I'm a poet quoting notions that you'll discover as my purpose. I portray the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. I attempt to bring love and light unabated, unabashed, unlimited, unconscious, unconditionally, all somewhat set to a hip-hop jazzy mental cipher when even Rakim stops in to say. C-34 Music, the poet that you call me, with hopes these words give me a voice to speak lives and effigies. Maybe you'll get high off the memories that the letters form from my ink drip settles deep between the melted earwax, develop special chemistry between us. That's that piece.
Yo.
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right, my diva. Listen, you go first on that one.
The way I screamed on that Kurt Franklin line, I'm so glad I had myself muted. That Kurt Franklin line took me out.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. Yes.
And
yes,
all
yes.
The people you named from these shows, even down to my man Malik from New York Undercover. Jesus, you just are so amazing with your pen. I love it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Lady A, what you got for that?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty marvelous. I loved, I love your honesty when you write. You're a very honest writer in expressing yourself and the truth, your truth. And I also loved how you spoke of all the TV programs and the people that were on them, and I think you're very special in your writing, and you know your voice lends a tremendous amount of what should I say, girls? It's very sultry, your voice. It's very attractive and it commands attention, and yeah, it was great.
Thank you, Lady A. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
You're most welcome.
Yeah, that. Come on, that thing made me sit
yeah.
straight up.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And then the enter was caution. Yeah. Whatever it is that you said afterwards, yes, it made complete sense. And I have to agree with Lady A. Your voice is it's very commanding. It's powerful. And it lends that to every piece that you do. Now, let's get into this nostalgia, okay? Every last one of them shows are shows that I like. I used to either be late going to work for when I worked third shift, or just no disturbance was allowed in the force when I was watching those shows. Nobody would come and bother me, Mom. Baby, none of that. Leave me alone. I'm watching my show, okay? And I'm sorry, I love every last one of them, okay? And I haven't heard you do a piece with the that brings about the nostalgia in a long time. And this was you made up for lost time with this one. I loved it, man. It was dope. And yeah, you have the it's not only a commanding voice, the tone in it. There is an exclamation point at the end of all of your pieces, and I love that. It's amazing. It's awesome. And I appreciate you bringing that to us tonight.
It's his control.
Yeah.
That's
okay,
what gets me. It's the control that you have over your baritone. There are men who have voices who are deep, but they don't have control of it. You know how to flex it to make it even more appealing. And drags you right into whatever you're saying. Because some people can talk long enough that you just get numb to their voice. You don't have that. You have a way of making people scoot up to the edge of their seats with your voice.
Yeah,
thank
like,
you
damn.
So much.
As soon as we hear you speak, be like, damn. Well, hold on. Let me pay your attention for a second. Whoever this is. So, yes, 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 absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
Well, my thing is, I wish I would have put this at the end of it. Come bring me your workload. Comfort me through all this madness. Poetry, don't you know, with you, I'm born again.
I'm trying to tell you, I almost joined in. It was going to be a duet. Oh, man.
I think of these things, y'all. I think of these things.
That's all right. That is all right. All right. Thank you so much, the devil, for everything, bringing your amazing poetry, that beautiful baritone voice. Man, you're a class act. So what I'm going to do is going to... I'm going to have one of my divas escort you over there to Temptation Station. I believe that's what it was named. Yeah, Temptation Station. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have Lady A escort you over there. You still going there, grab yourself a drink, sit back, put your feet up, and take your socks off. Baby, baby. One love.
Just remember. Just remember, y'all ain't nothing without David Ruffin. That's all I got to say about that. One love, one mic.
Oh, man. That's what's up. That's what's up, Jesus. All right. Let's get to this next caller. Well, we have one half host of the Just Jay and Gina show, who and they are also hosts of Epiphany Radio. We got ourselves a Gina Storm. Hey, Gina, welcome to Divas Talk. How you doing tonight?
Happy Wednesday, ladies.
Happy Wednesday.
Hey, Gina.
How you feeling?
Hey, Gina.
Are you there?
I am. I had to let the garage door up. I like to go outside when I spit my piece while the weather allows it. So that's
okay.
What I was doing, coming outside.
I feel you on that one. Yeah, this weather is totally unpredictable. Yes, yes. But how you doing tonight aside from working with that garage door?
I'm good. Yeah, I just, you know, Wednesday's the middle of the week. And I always feel like by the time I get to Wednesday, well, whatever's going to come, I made it. The worst is over, so let's go. I have the great fortune of not having to punch a clock anymore. So the beautiful thing about my weeks are my days don't run together as much as they used to because I actually have things that I'm doing almost every day. I love Wednesday. I love coming here. I love the topics always. I was glad to hear my big brother Dexter. Love you, Dex. Double 34 music. It's always in the laboratory. So I dubbed him Dexter, and he calls me Dee Dee. So. Yeah, I heard
him. I love that.
Piece. I heard y'all pieces were excellent. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's my big brother right there. We get these opportunities, you know, to come in and share to a topic that speaks to us all every single week. So, yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, well, let me ask you the question of the night, of the evening. Are you a poet? Or do you just write poetry? Do you live the lifestyle, or do you just dilly-dally in it for the attention?
Oh, God, no. I don't even understand those words. I'm completely and totally, absolutely, positively sure that I am a poet.
Okay.
This is it.
Let me ask
you.
Okay. Sure. Let me ask you another question. When did you find your voice in poetry?
Well, I didn't know I was a poet. Probably a few years before I actually realized, because poets were telling me I was a poet. I mean, like, professional poets were saying, you know, you're a poet. And I was like, yeah, no, those are just my thoughts. But those thoughts were words, and words that come from our hearts and minds coincide and find their way together in a way that makes them pertinent, relevant to who we are as individuals, so that we can express ourselves clearly and articulately. And sometimes it rhymes and sometimes it doesn't, but however you put it out there, it's you, authentically you, you know, from your heart and your mind and your soul. And when people read or hear it, they feel some type of way. And to me, that's what it's all about. So I love, love, love being a poet. And I've been doing so since I was a child. As a matter of fact, my mom says that stories up, and sometimes they rhymed and sometimes they didn't, but these stories would be about myself. And it was probably a way to empower little Gina, so that when I grew up, I could be focused on the things that I wanted to achieve in life, because my brothers are very ambitious and athletic, and my parents, my mother especially, very bright and well-read and educated. So I wanted to be like, you know, the rest of my family and shine and have something that was mine. And I guess poetry found me. But, yeah, I was a kid.
All right. Thanks for that. Now, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight? Because you never disappoint.
All right, so this is what happened. I was actually texting Clarence, and I said, you want the topic is tonight? And he was like, yeah, and he had texted it to me. And I was like, okay. So I tell you what, if this is the topic, and I have probably 3 or 4 pieces that I've written to the topic of, you know, me being a poet, sure. But why not try to write one while I'm listening? So that's what I did. I penned a piece called I'm a Poet while I was listening to y'all.
All right. Well, I'm going to move out of the way and fix the spotlight. And whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Thank you. I'm a poet, and I don't just write poetry. That's something crazy about me. I don't just fill pages with ink. Every time I pick up my pen, I need to release, sometimes daily. I hate having wondrous thoughts not become poems. I feel like that's where they belong, that's their home. I'm a weirdo and a misfit with poems that make my square peg in a round world fit. Poetry and me have an extensive background. Poetry for me has always been around, keeping my feet solid on the ground. My conversation is also mistaken for poetry when it comes from me, but words have always just come naturally and freely. Mom said before my diaper service ended, me talking nonstop had begun. I was my own imaginary friend, living inside our home and lost in my own head as a child. That part was wild. Stories about myself that empowered me, they were unique and it was a necessity. I love being a poet, personifying my lyrics. Happily for all those who read and hear it, I'll continue to use poetry as a tool. Poetry, my happy place, protection, and a location for introspection. And until I die, without hesitation, on all types of occasions and celebrations, capturing each joy, pain, first and last special day, each of them being punctuated with an all-caps wow, including poem that I'm sharing with all of you now. In peace.
I know that's right. I'm a poet. What I'm talking about, that was a beautiful piece. You know, Jenny, you never disappoint, regardless of what you bring us, whatever it is that you're talking about, even when you, and I know you don't write a whole lot and give it to us. I don't know how much you write, but I know you're one of the freestylers, the well-known one. But and whatever it is that you bring to us is beautiful. You're very soft-spoken, and that is one of your gifts that keeps the attention of the listeners. And I'm a fan, man. I just enjoy your poetry. I appreciate it. Ms. Lips,
thank you.
What you got for that?
I am always blown away by Gina. If I could write, if I could come up with stuff as quickly as she does, I would have volumes of books by now. I am completely and totally blown away by how quickly you can pull your thoughts together and put them down for, and not even put them down, because sometimes you come off the dome with some of the most brilliant things I've ever heard. You are absolutely a poet in my book.
Oh, wow. Lady, that is so dope. Thank you.
I agree. Lady A?
Yeah, I'm amazed by how you freestyle and have your thoughts put together like that. But more than that, I really liked your piece tonight because it spotlighted your inner self in how much poetry is a part of your mind and your body and your soul. Like, I mean, it's just it's who you are, and that's what's, I think, beautiful about every poet, because a true poet, I mean, it's just the essence of them, and you showed that tonight. It was lovely.
Absolutely.
I love it here. Thank you guys so much. Like, when you get feedback from three people, like, my face hurts from smiling, so I'm so thrilled. Like, honestly, I don't want to say I threw it together, but yeah, literally, like, I was listening to all three of you, and then Dexter came on, and I already had the topic, so I had more than enough time. You know, I was thinking La Perla Negra about Pick Up Your Pens with Larry. For real, not even 5 whole minutes to write a piece with really ludicrous prompts. So, yeah, this to me was the way that prompt writing should be. You get a prompt that you can do something with, and you just go for it.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Now, before we let you skip off smiling over into Temptation Station, can you let everybody know what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio Universe?
Absolutely. This Saturday evening, join Just Jay and myself. We are going to have Sincere from Clubhouse on the couch for an interview with us, and he is a very charismatic individual with amazing poetry and pen, and does a plethora of other things outside of poetry. But I think that the best way to get to know a poet is to have an interview with one. So that's what we're doing this Saturday, 8 Central, 9 Eastern, at the same calling number that you called in tonight, 319-527-6300. Press 1 to get in the queue, and we would love to hear from you and your conversation, your contributions to person that we're interviewing, which is Sincere, this weekend, so that he can feel the love that we feel here over at Epiphany.
All right. That's what's up. That's what I'm talking about. And he ain't got nothing to worry about. You already know. You already know. All right.
Love.
Well, my diva, Ms. Lips, would you kindly escort Ms. Storm over to Temptation Station where she can grab a drink, sit back, put her feet up, and take her socks off. Baby, baby. One
Thank
love.
You, yes, come on, love. Mic. One mic.
Let's go get some of this peach wine. Come on.
All right, ladies. All right. We got another artist on the line. I'm going to open up her microphone right now because she is another host on Epiphany Radio, one half host of King and Queen's Quarters. Let's get her in here. We got Queen Simmons, a.k.a. Still Zwina, a.k.a. Mahogany Soul. My goodness. Welcome to Diva's Talk. How you doing tonight, goddess?
I am doing okay. Can you? You okay?
Yeah, you're just fine.
Can you hear me? Okay. Okay. I got this little microphone thing. Hey, ladies. How are you guys doing? I heard it was some beautiful divas up in here talking about poetry. I see it. Let me get my food put away and come on through and see what y'all are talking about.
Oh, and it is greatly appreciated. And yes, they are absolutely beautiful. Yes, they are. And they are amazing artists, as such as yourself. And I want to ask you the question of the evening. Are you a poet or do you just write poetry? Do you live the lifestyle or do you just dilly-dally in it for the attention?
I certainly don't think I dilly-dally in it for the attention. I've been writing since I was very little. And even though the idea of what the head of life of a poet is still something that's, you know, trying to find a comfortable balance for, you know what I mean? Like, I think kind of just putting all my focus into writing, and I've been having the most fun with it than I had in a long time. But now it's like, all right, get back in and go back to work because, you know, you know. So it's like, yeah, finding that balance. But do I consider myself a poet? I had to look up the definition. Like, cause if you write poetry, if you pen and perform poetry, you are a poet technically. But to take ownership of that as a title for myself, I'm still trying to be comfortable with that. I just like to write great stuff, and I love when people understand it, you know, and I enjoy being able to do it.
Okay. You're breaking up just a little bit. You sound a little bit distant.
Okay. Hold on one second. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. All right, well,
okay.
We are just anxious to hear what you brought. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to get out the way. I'm going to fix the spotlight. And whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
I was going to try to play this piece with music, but the thing is not working out. So I'm going to try to do it without, but it's called Black Love. Love me like cook food. Love me like good blues. Love me like right on time, good news, kismet, and necessary. Love me like storms when you someplace warm to go, and a black grandmother's arms when you're all but lost for hope. Love me like hope, sight unseen beneath layers of debris. See, that's where them diamonds be. Love my being. Love me even when my boogies stink. Love me like black families love line dancing. Like somehow you inherently know my steps. And when we get it right together, it's the best thing yet. Yes. Love me. Love me like you've never known black love to be ugly. Like touching something inside of me means just as much as touching me. Like I'm the missing something in your special sauce, because we could give away the whole recipe, but they could never make our sauce. Yes, Lord. It's black love or bust in my being. I'm a black queen, and I love my black kings, and together we make the next generation of black kings and queens. Let's be Ozzie Davises and Ruby Dees, Mansa Mooses and Inari Kunatis, loved on God bodies. Love me like the first bite of the perfect summer peach, like the peak of the roller coaster right before release when life feels powerless to possibilities. And love me like Dwayne Wayne loved him some Whitley, and like Bobby Brown loved him some Whitney. Yes, like Bobby Brown loved him some Whitney. Like it don't matter if the world is against me as long as you're with me. Like no weapon formed against thee can ever stop us. Like the world could turn a cold shoulder, but I know that we've got us. No more of this normative performative antics, this transactional exchanges, encoded languages. Nah, love me like Mamie Till loved black people when she told them to keep the casket open. Love me open. Love me golden, gilded in the sanctity of spoken covenant that you uphold wherever you go. Like I'm your soulmate, like my heart is a sacred part of your day, like my name comes up whenever you pray, like the whole world could fall away and things will be okay as long as you can see my face. Love me with grace, love me ethereal, metaphysical, as if the marriage of our words, prayers, and deeds are the things that could birth miracles, spiritual, like our love is a sacred thing, like a matter. The battle, we gon' make it thing, signed another black queen, in love with black things, just a reminder, I love you, black king. And that's that piece.
Jesus, Dwayna. My God, I don't even know where to start. The flow of that piece. You are such a beast in such a quiet little package. You come in like you whispering and then bang us all in the head with a hammer when you start speaking.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You do. Sadie A?
Yeah, you know, you have your cadence is it's like a song when you read your pieces. You sing it and it comes from so such a deep place within you, and it's always full of love and the beauty of that kind of love, the longing for that kind of love. I think you just are magic.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You know that I am one of your top fans. Not just you as a poet, but as a person, period. But, yes, I so look forward to listening to you, to hear you spit whatever it is that you are bringing, because you are a phenomenal poet. You have gotten, I've had the pleasure of watching you, your pen grow, you grow, and just it's an amazing journey, I believe, that you're on. And I'm so grateful that you bring it here to, that you are part of the Epiphany family, for one. But just to know a poet like you is just, it's wonderful. Your piece is great.
We've all been watching you find your power in your pieces, and you are powerful.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you guys.
Yes.
You know what? Like, life has been like so crazy that it's like you never go through a period when it almost feels like it challenges your belief of who it's possible for you to be. And I feel so blessed and grateful to have such an encouraging community of people that have been constantly from the beginning when I was all mousy and shaking, like, no, you can do it. And like from then, I feel like I've just grown so much. But the community of people behind me, I think, are the reason that I was able to do that. Like you're honest, like being able to just reach out and be like, this is what I'm feeling, or this is what I'm working on, and doing the same thing with you guys with your pieces, like, it's evolved me so much. So I give credit to you guys as much as anything that I have reached so far, because I still feel like I'm learning so much, and just being able to own my voice too is an important part of that journey. But thank you so much. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah,
I really do.
We appreciate you too, Diva, and thank you very much. You know what? We may have we may spin the block. I'm going to see how much time we work with this later. If you can, hang around. And those of you that are still hanging on listening, we're going to spin the block. And when I open your mic, just let me know if you want to spit another piece or not. It would be greatly appreciated. All right. Now, but I'm going to escort you personally over to Temptation Station. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for coming through. But before we skip on, wait a minute now. Before we skippity dip on over there to the lounge, can you tell everybody what you got going on in the world of Epiphany Radio Universe?
Yes, of course. So I hope you, ladies, if you're free this Friday night, I will be on Mahogany Soul's Juke Joint here on Epiphany Radio, 9 p.m., same bat time, same bat channel. Also, I think I will be on King and Queen's Quarters on Monday. I'll have let you know. And possibly Tuesday on Fly Speak with Mahogany. Those things are tentative, but I'm always here, you know, be family. I'll be around, but definitely on Friday night I'll be here, so I hope you ladies will come through as well.
There you have it. There you have it. All right. We're looking forward to it. I know where I am. I'm going to be up in there swinging and swagging and juking and all that good stuff. Okay. So come on, let's go and walk over here to the Temptation Station. Thank you for coming through.
Okay.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Ladies, 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 that is one of my favorites. Okay, I'm going to just leave it at that. One of my favorites.
Oh, I have watched Gina grow. It's amazing watching how she's grown.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember when I first started hearing her, I was like, oh, she's a beast. But you could kind of hear like the nervousness in her. Now it's like a cakewalk for her. It really is. She just got it. She got it. And I'm proud of her. And I'm grateful to know her. You know, it's awesome. So we got another caller up in here. This is the other host of the Just Jay and Gina Storm Show and also a host of Epiphany Radio. I'm opening up this next mic to it. Just Jay, welcome to Divas Talk. How you doing tonight?
Hey, good evening, ladies. How are y'all doing tonight?
Good, good.
It's all good. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
I've been enjoying it. My telephone is giving me the blues. I think I got like 0% running on this joke. I got a broken port.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That sucks. I know it happens.
Oh,
trust me.
Man.
Been there, done that. Okay.
You get so used to just plugging in and then you get power. Then one day that don't work that way.
I know. I know. You got to set it a certain kind of way. That's what it is. You got to
force it. Black folks be on that, man. Don't touch it. It's like a cake in the oven. Don't stop around it.
Don't work so hard. Don't get so
right.
Hard.
Anything.
You know it. Because we know how to make things work. We just can't have no disturbance in it. You know what I mean? After we get it set a certain way, don't even come near it. Okay? Well, I guess. I get it. But, Jay, I got to ask you the question of the evening. Is you ready? All right. Are you a poet or do you just write poetry? Do you live the lifestyle or do you just dilly-dally in it for the attention? Can't hear you if you're talking. Oh, man. There's a disturbance in the floor.
Yeah, I think his phone finally kicked out.
Yeah. Oh, man. Jay, if you can call back in, because we can't hear you at all. It still says you're here, but we can't hear you. So, I don't know. I'm going to have to go on to the next caller. What I'm going to do before I do that, though, I'm going to play a song. I'm going to do a station identification, and then I'm going to open up the next mic. I'll check on yours first before I open up this next mic. So we'll be right back, lady. All right?
Slowly creeping on me, and then it got on my mind.
Welcome back. It is now 10:30. We are coming up on the 11 o'clock hour. Make sure you get in here. I'm going to give you the dial-in number, 319-527-6300, and press that 1 to join us. Get up in here by 10:59 because Blog Talk Lady ain't got no chill. She's going to cut your ass off, and you ain't going to be able to get in. You probably won't be able to hear nothing. Ladies, let's get back to Boy Divas Talk. We got another amazing artist up on the mic next. We got ourselves Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer. Hey, Joe, welcome to Divas Talk. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
We are
good.
Right up
good.
Here.
What's up, baby?
Y'all can hear me okay, right?
Crystal clear. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So I got to ask you the question of the evening. Are you ready, Joe?
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right. Are you a poet or do you just write poetry? Do you live the lifestyle or do you just dilly-dally in it for attention?
I'm a poet.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Let me ask you the other question. I'm sorry. You had something else to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no. You can ask the other question first.
I just want to know, when did you first find your voice in poetry?
Oh, wow. I found my voice in poetry about, I guess about maybe 7-8 years ago, maybe somewhere around in that.
Okay.
I wrote before that, but, you know, my delivery and stuff like that, so I really didn't have, I really wasn't able to express what I wrote the way I wanted to express it. So, you know, I would always look for other people to read my stuff, but, you know, until I found, you know, my own voice, so to speak. So, yeah, about 7 years ago, I'd say.
Okay.
Well, maybe long, somewhere around in there, though, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for that. Now, we know you brought something amazing for us to listen to. So without further ado, I'm going to stand back. I'm going to adjust the spotlight on you. All right, perfect. And whenever you're ready, mic is yours.
All right, here we go. This is called the Soulmate Debate. I was deep in philosophical discussion. I was in a deep philosophical discussion with someone I can truly trust in. When there's no lust involved, one can talk and get things resolved. So I pondered this question. I was questioned. Maybe not questioned, but the phrasing of it all had me second guessing. Days and years of oppression, self-imposed prison sentences. I had to think hard about what she meant. A soulmate. A soulmate. Then I had this mental debate, common interest versus what I was feeling. The more I pondered this, my head started reeling. I may have more in common with the stranger on the street than I had with the one that my soul wants to keep. Different philosophies without a drop of me. Yet I can relate with the stranger that sees more through commonality. You see, we can relate on certain issues, having lived the same miscues. I don't love her the way some get fused to. I can dig an interest in mutual things, and holding hands in the park playing like kids on the swing. But here's the thing. Who owns the dark moments? Who has clearly shown it? I may not be her go-to in the times of atonement. Shouldn't a soulmate get that anointment? I'm not a gender bender, so that's not a factor. How much common interest can one take before you melt down that reactor? Maybe there's a huge difference before one makes that commitment. Because let me tell you, people, it's a fine line between them. Soulmates should know it all and act accordingly. Common interests are fine, but can end up sordidly. Soulmates are clearly up for debate, because common interests will make a soulmate wait. That's my piece. Thank you.
Damn. Let me ask you a question. That very last line. Common interest will make a soulmate wait. Wow, that right there. Now that's thought provoking, because I sort of want to ask a question. I can't even put together how I want to ask the question. Yeah, I like that last line though. I mean, the whole piece is decent, but that one. Okay, so when you say common interest will make a soulmate wait. To me, it seems like you're talking to somebody else or talking about having common interests with someone else aside from your person, your soulmate. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you know, your soulmate may be the thing and all that, but, you know, somehow someone has the common interest. you kick it more. So, you know, sometimes a soulmate got to wait.
I like that. You're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%. Oh, man. Lisa Lip?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same vein where you are. It opened up my mind to something different. That line, I think about the fact that I have these people in my life that I call my friends, and we always click on the same kind of wavelength, but I never looked at them as possibly somebody that was a soulmate. That made me think differently.
Okay. Lady A?
I thought this was really interesting in so many, on so many levels. But what you said at the end, I feel that the basis of this is to find, you know, if you find someone that you have a lot of common interests, common things to discuss, that you become friends during that time, and then perhaps those common interests evolve into being soulmates. Like sharing those interests grow into a soulmate, and you have to be friends before you fall into lust. But friendship is the foundation. That's what I got out of it. I thought that was really profound.
It was. It was.
Thank you. Thank you, lady. That means a lot because I definitely consider you a poet. And you know, I've told you this several times, but yeah, you're definitely a poet.
That's what's up.
You are certainly a poet, and you put, I know that you spend a great deal of time in your thought process and putting it down on paper. I know you're amazing that way. It's great to hear your voice.
Likewise. Thank you. Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have Lady A escort you over to the, what did you call it, Temptation Station. I still get tickled when I say that. You're the one that gave it to us on our pilot show, and I appreciate it. I'm trying to get used to saying it, because every time I get ready to, I think I'm about to mess up. And I was like, no, that's what he called it, Temptation Station. That's what's up.
Temptation Station.
Yeah.
And like, oh, the no, great Like the great Clarence said, you know, y'all wouldn't be nothing without David Ruffin.
Y'all will stop playing. That's what's up, y'all. Thank you very much, Joe, the verbal mind dancer. Go on over there, grab yourself a drink, sit back, put your feet up, and take your socks off. Baby, baby, one love, one mind.
One love, one mind.
That's what's up. Oh, I am, man, these poems, these poets that's coming through here, y'all just got me floating, man. Oh, man, here come my brother. That's my brother. Yeah. One of my favorite ones, too. Yeah, we got ourselves another host of Epiphany right here, y'all. We got Mojave, a.k.a. Todd Rux, a.k.a. Iron Man. Hey, Mr. Tuesday Night. What's up, Javi? Welcome to Diva Talk. How you doing tonight?
King Trip.
Yes, Trip Rap, gang.
Yeah. I just heard Lou Draws. You'll never find me.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm so proud of myself. Like, every time I tell you, you know, and I haven't gotten his patches, like, his patches here. I haven't gotten to him yet, but I'm going to get it. Joe, I'm going to get you your patch. Trust me, I'm going to get you your patch. I know people going to put something together to make things, but, you know, we're going to figure this out. We're going to get to it, I promise you. You know, I came to support, you know, in the most grandiose fashion. All of you guys are coming to support and giving you energy. Plus, we have a super fantastic time. If you didn't listen to War Council last night, you missed out.
Did y'all miss
it? Yeah, War Council.
Yo, that was like the best so far. I'm trying to tell you. I don't think I've laughed that hard in a long time. But the in the commentary, conversation itself, and then the ad, oh, God.
Yo,
I can't wait.
I'm
going to listen to the playback after this show. I'm trying to tell you so I can get me a good laugh and doze off. I got shit to do tomorrow. And I think the show was amazing. But it wouldn't happen without you, Hob. You know, you're amazing. You know I love you, man. Don't get me started on the chat.
I love you guys.
There you go. So, let me ask you the question of the evening. Why are people calling me, disrupting my, I can't even, are you kidding me? All right, so the question is, are you a poet or do you just write poetry? Do you live that lifestyle or are you just dilly-dallying in it for attention?
Okay, you're right. I would say, I'll plead the fifth. No, I would say, poetry is life for me. My heart, my soul, everything is involved in it. And I'm just being very fortunate to get to this station in life where I'm surrounded by poets that I love, that have become my family, that are equally just as important, that support me and love me as much as I support and love them. And it would never be possible without poetry, you know. And I was like remarking earlier, like I was around, like I spent a large part of my life around people who were really a bunch of haters. And I know people use that as like a term just to cover everything. But I mean, I really had people who were like, you know, telling me how not to feel about my poetry. You know, and it made me doubt myself, you know. But so now people like be like, oh, you're arrogant. I'm like, no, I just have supreme confidence. I'm never arrogant. I'm very humble. But you can't tell me about me or what I'm trying to do or how I'm trying to do it. You just can't. And if you think that's arrogance, no, that's the personalized direction. And that would be because of poetry, you know. And I don't trouble nobody. I don't bother nobody. I don't get in somebody else's lane. I walk my own path. And I'm just fortunate to have people to walk along with me.
Oh, that's right. I can testify to that. He's great.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Just an amazing person all around, man. You got this energy that is so light. I'm telling you, for those of you that don't know Mavi, when he talks to you, when you come away from a conversation with him or just being in his presence, you feel like you can conquer the world. I'm trying to tell you. And that's just what it's about with him. It's a beautiful thing. Okay. So, Ave, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
Well, I'm trying to master this poem, right? So I'm going to do it. I've done it a couple times. I think I'm going to do it again, of course. And I want to see what happens when I do it, because, you know, practice makes perfect, and you always should be prepared. There's some things going on. There's things I want to go to, and I want to be able to have this poem in my repertoire memorized. So I'm going to just keep practicing until I get it. Not to say that all my poetry should be reflective of that, but I'm going to try. All right, so let's try this out.
Are you ready?
Tell me.
Okay,
hold on. You fell in love with me through your ears, your mind's eye telling your heart, evidenced by eyes who corroborated what it felt like and ascertained the realness of it. And I'm in need of your sweet touch. I need to feel your loving arms around me, want to kiss you soft and deep. Need to feel the echo of your love in the hallways of my soul. Want your breath to become yours. Need that touch of your waves to wash my shores. Let the sound of seagulls and air be the peace we share. You are restorative. In your arms, wrap yourself around me with an intimate energy that recharges my batteries. Let me reciprocate. Give you equal everything. We'll share all the suppleness of your skin to be loved. Kiss your essence all over your skin. Let me feel all that within. You are my dream, my love. Let me receive you. Allow you to enter into my heart freely. Let the hold of me protect you, give you your admiration, and I know that you will see. You found me. You heard me. You came to me. You covered me. Let me fulfill your wants, secure your belief in love. Love you until your doubts die with actions that are foundational in trust. Truth being our mortar. What is built is a covenant arc and arched within our souls, the heart glowing, and each day we are growing exponentially. You see, I've been waiting for you, for a kiss so true that it makes me vibrate in contemplation. So find me at the end of the yellow brick road where rainbows blow charm pops for suckers because they are sweet. You, my treat, are confectionery sugar. The cavities that cake, no smoke, we vape the inhalation of midnight's grace. Plant this affection squarely on your face. It's getting late, and this Egyptian cotton has a cost that is only paid in the weight of your body. We scale, incomparable fine, pale in comparison. Let my eyes taste the poetry that your body happens to be. Your groove, because you are the soul that I've been waiting for. And there's no sunrise that I would despise as long as you exist. The bliss of your kiss is how I subsist, and I stay in my tent never to relent. Permissive with your consent, I'm giving unto you to love, love, love. Three times for as many times as I do believe in you. My past moving into my future, how I took you to heal in your heart, I suture, closing you off from pain, pushing off the remains, taking away the sorrow, replacing your heart walls with a better tomorrow. And when I speak love, I speak your name. And in the blessed need of change, I find your note and see that you have range. And it might feel strange to feel so much of my energy. Or when you dream, you know that you can see me. This is providence. This is prophecy. So meet me at the corner of my fantasies. Boulevard of heart, street carved desire. This fire burns only for you. Warms only for you. Make the heavens shout in exuberance that these stars bow in the light of your brilliance. Soak like the night, like a cape, growing the soul of winds, vicing your vision, the sun in imposition, knowing that we create universes in our kisses. Move Milky Ways in our touch. Transverse chest racks, desires fifth dimension, ascertaining through touch. My ecstasy is extension. My hearty hunger for you is intergalactic. So allow me to boldly go where no one has gone before. Sometimes I forget what it's like to be loved when I'm not in your arms. Forget what it's like to be cloaked. You got all the smoke, so I choke like how you watch me sleep. Me blowing sheep in between my snores. Your fingertips tracing my face while doing the most in this comfortable space. The taste of your likes makes me remember the first time you asked me for another kiss. How your eyes went full of affection as I brought my lips closer to your direction. Love drunk. Inebriated, staggered steps, heart elevated, I watched you climb into my towers, flowers blossoming, transforming into silk gossamer, soul speaking to character. I know that time is limited in engagement, like sunrise or sunset, and you don't belong to me. I wait on beaches hoping that you return to me. Am I wrong? To me, you don't belong, but I'm going to act like you are mine. Anyway, I'm going to treat you like you are mine. Anyway. And that's the piece.
My God. Mommy. I am in love with your poetry. Your voice is hypnotic. Your words are exquisite. I am just I don't even know what the word is, and entranced, enthralled, encapsulated. I don't know what the hell to say. I could listen to you all day, every day. I'm in love, and I don't even know who the fuck I'm in love with, but I'm just in love now, because that's how your poetry makes me feel. Why you always come and make love to us like this? How you know, some of us live by ourselves, okay? This word, oh my God. So you need to practice. Practice what? Practice what? I don't know what you talk about practice, you know. I mean, okay, if you feel like you need to practice one day, then by all means do it. Yeah, but, dude, oh, my God. All right, I'm going to sit here and clutch my invisible pearls, and I'm going to send it on over to Ms. Lips. Lord, have mercy.
There's a person that is Mojave, that person that is always cheerful, have you laughing, part of the crowd, just makes you feel at home. And then there's Mojave's poetry. That's a whole another being unto itself. I fall in love every time you do a piece. You have the most amazing way of entrancing people into your poetry. I love when you spit. Because you have this tone to your voice that's just comfort, and I'm like LaPerla Negra said it just right. You make us all fall in love with your voice and with your pieces.
Thank you. Oh my God! Yes, Lady A.
I'm humble.
Oh. Wow. I think when I started listening to you as you were reading this poem, I thought to myself, oh, he's got a girl, he's got a woman, he's got a new person to love. And then as I listened more, I heard you dreaming of this woman and that you wait on beaches for her to return, but you're going to act like she's yours anyway. Anyway, I just thought this was magnificent, and I agree with all that was said prior to, like, LaPerla Negra and Lisa Lips. All of what they said, I say too. This is really beautiful.
Thank you.
You know what? That part you just said about, then I heard you dreaming. That is, I'm putting that in a piece, damn it. I'm writing that down. That right there, I can steal that. That was beautiful when you included it in your commentary. However, you are amazing, dude. Oh, my God. It's just like, as soon as I start hearing you spit, I'm like, tell me more about my eyes, please. And I'm just, I can't help myself. Okay. I'm leaning on my face.
I kind of find myself just like closing my eyes and sinking into when I hear his voice. Even like in a live audience, it's hard for me to just sit there and enjoy him on stage because I'm so drawn in by his poetry. I just want to close my eyes and feel like he's talking to only me.
Yeah.
So I'm sliding down in my chair. I'm trying to tell you, the poetry, dude, you got it. You got that it factor. You just do. It's amazing. And I'm so blessed to know you, to be a part of your life, all of that good stuff. What's the real call it? Not mushy. What do you call it? Sappy.
Mm-hmm.
Sappy. Yeah. But you do it for us, dude. And thank you. Now, before we let you go on over there and handle your business, just make a pit stop in the Temptation Station. Can you tell everyone what you've got going on in the world of Epiphany Radio's universe?
Oh, I'm glad that you asked me that question. That's great. You know what? Hold on, hold on. Let me get my commercial ready. Let's go. Well, next Tuesday on the 50 Radio Universe of Real Entertainment Network, we present to you Honey Dripper 3.0, third season. We are going to welcome in Honey Dripper to come and do amazing poetry, from the intimate to the erotic, also very sexy words. Please make sure that you bring your auditory prophylactic so that your mind doesn't get pregnant with some of these ideas that you might want to take home and try. We're going to introduce the brand new class of Honey Drippers known as the Brand New Heavies. We're going to talk about things that are going on in the future of Honey Drippers. It's going to be very interesting. And doing some things, we're going to introduce some authors and everything else that we have. All drip all the time. Very sexy words. Be prepared. And if you get pregnant, please seek our legal department, as we are not responsible for the things you do in your own home. That being said, the next Tuesday, 9 p.m., here with 50 Radio Universe, the For Real Entertainment Network, where we encourage you to take your socks off. Baby, baby.
Baby, baby. Even you as an announcer, I think you would be awesome for commercials and an announcer. You just have this thing about you. Lord, have mercy. I'm so glad you my brother. It'd be trouble for him trying to tell you. Trouble.
I'm such an easy target. All you got to do is twist my hair and rub my beard. I'm out there. Well, I got on track shoes all the time, so I got on track shoes.
I can't stand it. Oh, man, thank you so much, Javi, for coming through. Oh, man. Whew. The support is amazing. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Love you guys.
Bye. Don't forget to rain.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, he is, oh, man, I love him. I really, really do. All right, we got another caller on the line, and they just made it in here in time. We got ourselves a Mr. Automatic Charismatic. Welcome to Divas Talk, Auto. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
Good, we're good.
Good
in the neighborhood, man. Since you are our last caller to get up in here, I'm going to ask you the question before we shut it down, okay? The question of the evening is, are you a poet or do you just write poetry? Do you live the lifestyle or do you just dilly-dally in it for attention?
I am a poet. I write and I freestyle. It's part of my everyday life. Been doing poetry for years. I do try to grab attention. When I'm speaking, I want people to understand what I'm bringing to the mic. I think it works both ways. But I think I'm more of a poet. And then, you know, as you listen to my poetry, hopefully the content will reach out to the audience. And I try to draw them in.
Okay. All right. That's what's up. Let me ask you one more question. When did you first find your voice in poetry?
Great question. I really found my voice was, I think it was back in 1994. There was a poem called You Haven't Been on My Street. And I was writing, but I wasn't real serious about it until I heard that poem. And it changed my life. It was on the radio. I'll never forget it. It's called You Have It Been on My Street. It was a woman, a lady poet, that wrote that poem.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Now, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight? Because you never disappoint.
Well, I'm on a freestyle. I'm on a freestyle called Musical Chairs.
The mic is yours.
If we are going to understand, be as one. Understanding our role as we sit down. Having a grip of life as we have the breath to join hands and be as one and bright. We're not trying to hurt each other. We're not trying to be in a state of mind. We lose everything and be out of touch. Finding my way to sit down in this relationship. Making sure everything is so secure. But we're walking around trying to find the answers. Why are we listening to the music? Finding the right spot in the music. And we don't know where we're at when we're in our musical chairs. Life we hold. Sometimes the love can be warm. Sometimes it can be cold. Sometimes that it could be safe, sometimes it could be dangerous. We're trying to walk around. We're trying to figure this thing out. Love is so deep, part of the maturity, part of a place where we could be looking in a different direction. There goes that music playing in our mind. That music keeps on playing. Keeps on playing. As we go around the musical chairs, we're sacrificing. We're giving something up so we can sit down. So you and I can sit down and talk about this. So we keep giving things up that would interrupt us. And we say, like, enough is enough. What is the musical chairs? The music is playing all around us. Our time and our moment is now. Speak to the birds and make sure that we be very clear. Love is like spread like everywhere. I know this is our time. I'm more confident as the music is playing. But what happens when the music stops? And if we're not prepared to sit down and talk about it, then I guess we'd just be as not as one. As one will stay and the other will go. I guess it'll be just like those musical chairs. Mr. Automatic, Charismatic, the Lyrical Engine, 10 gears in the Marlin Parkland Drive.
Miss Lip. What you got for that?
I love your auto. You have this melancholy way of presenting yourself that pulls at the heartstring. And I love to hear you spit.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Lady A?
I found this to be very, very sad, and like many relationships, you know, we sit down and if the music's playing and all is good, and then there are those moments that grow larger and larger with more space between the love and unloved, and then trying to figure it out. And I thought that the metaphor of the musical chairs was excellent. But it was, you know, the music keeps playing in the musical chairs. You sit and talk, but it's not enough. And you still search to see if there's love remains in that relationship. And then the big question is what happens when the music stops? One stays and one goes. Very, very, very profoundly sad. Well done, though.
Thank you.
Very, very. It was melancholy tonight. And your energy is very very even tonight. I don't know what's going on, but it's very calming tonight, and I love the piece. I always love to listen to, you know, a lot of times you do political and conscious, but this one was love tonight, and I appreciate you coming through with it. Great piece, Otto. Thank you so much for coming through. We're always supporting. Appreciate you so much. I'm going to walk you on over there. I'm going to escort you over to the Temptation Station because I
know you're
still
getting
your nickel up in
here. Oh, my goodness. That means I can't do nothing.
I got to be on my best behavior. That's right. I'm trying to sneak something in the party. No. This is a new show and
a new lounge.
Okay, you are not going to have people coming up in there trying to revoke my liquor license. No. So I'm walking.
Oh, my goodness.
You thought I forgot about that, didn't you?
I'll try to do something. And now I can't do anything now. She put the locks on me now. Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
That's right.
You don't get away with nothing up in here. All right, Otto. Thank you very much. One love, one mic.
My love, one mic.
Ladies, this has been another amazing show. You guys, I so appreciate you riding shotgun with me every week. You have not let me down at all. You brought amazing poetry. You brought your amazing energy. And just, man, I love you girls. I really do. And give a shout out to my diva, Mr. VIP. I seen you up in these girls. Yes, I did. And Janice, I hope you feel better, baby. I'm sending out healing light to you, girl, and prayers. Oh, man. I want to thank everybody that came up in here tonight, that called in and gave these wonderful pieces. The pieces that you give, I know, are all a part of you. And you guys just rock. I'm telling you now, you just rock. Without you, there wouldn't be any show to do. So I appreciate everybody, and thank you for calling in. Ms. Lips, you got any last words before I shut it down?
This is an amazing space, and I love being here with you, and I thank you for considering me as part of it. I get to hear these poets and hear the energy that they bring, and it somehow lifts my spirits as well. I thank you for giving me this opportunity and for this space, and for all the poets that came through. Y'all are on fire every time you come through. I cannot wait till the next time.
Lady A?
I can say the same as Lisa. I thought, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this, and I thank everybody that called in too. I think this is such a marvelous opportunity to share who we are and what we love, and just the whole evening. I look forward to the next time as well. Just was wonderful. Thank you.
All right, and with that being said, everybody, I want you to get that good relationship going with yourself. Continue to love and respect one another. And with that, stay safe, sending out love and light, taking you out with this.